Follow Pete. Morning, everyone. Lovely to see everyone. I've been away a few weeks, so it's nice to be back. I would say as a preface straight away, I've actually just been away. I got back and then I went away again at the back end of this week, so I've not actually had a lot of time to prep. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures, which ideally I'd have put up on the screen, so forgive me because I haven't done that, so you're going to have to just let me rattle them off. So in one sense, I'm really quite underprepared, but that's all right. Now you're thinking, what he normally does is prepared. What's this going to look like? No, it's all good. I'm going to try and be quite quick this morning. We set our goal of 20 minutes a long time ago. Very few of us have hit it, but we try. And so really this morning, I'm going to preach a one-point sermon. And everyone's saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. It's wonderful news. But I have one point. It's a one-point sermon. And I'll get there in a minute. But I've just been away, like I say, a leader's retreat, time away from a load of the guys from the MLG network. And it was absolutely brilliant. And I just want to stand before we start and just state the blindingly obvious, but it's very fresh for me at the moment. God is alive and well. Amen, isn't he? The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is alive and well. Hallelujah, thank you. God, he is real, and he moves in reality in our lives, in all of us, as I look around. God is real, and he moves in our lives, and he touches us. He is alive and well. It's good news. Like I say, we got there, I think, Thursday, and I was a bit rushed there. I hadn't really thought about it, and we sat down, and I think probably in the first time where someone's pulled out a guitar, and we had a bit of worship, and there was a busy schedule, and I sort of just settled myself in that moment and thought, what do I want? What am I here for? And very quickly, I realized, I just want you to speak to me, Lord, actually. Everything's been a frenzy. Holiday was great, but, I just really prayed in that first meeting, Lord, please, I want to hear your voice. And I prayed for all of us, speak to us. Speak to us, let we hear your voice. And that's really where I was at. It was just like, lots of other things, and we'll get some training, and we'll do some cool seminars. But, I realized I just want to hear from God. I want to hear his voice speak into me, speak to me. And surprise, surprise, it's exactly what he did. And he spoke to all of us. He's alive and well, and he hears, and he answers us. And he spoke, and he ministered. And you're thinking, oh, that sounds all deep and spiritual, Johnny. What do you mean by that? I mean, if I can try and just... I don't know, that's just a Christian word, isn't it? The Holy Spirit ministered. It's like God comes and he gets close to us and he meets whatever need we have, whatever need that individual had. The Holy Spirit comes and he meets it and he gives of himself to us. It's what he ministers of himself. He gives of himself and it changes us from the inside out. In a moment, we can realize God's touched me and I'm different and he's powerful. He's alive and well, and Matt won't mind me saying, he ministered, Matt shared something, and there's no doubt in my mind, God, in the last few days, would have done something for Matt that would probably have changed his life forever, and he does it to me and you, and things happen along our journey, and we say, speak, Lord, and he comes, and he touches us, he does something, and it's so powerful. So it was a good time away. I enjoyed myself. And so anyway, the one-point sermon. Here it is, really big revelation stuff this morning, everyone, right? We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. He's God in us. I go crazy when I hear people refer to it. It's God himself, Christ in us, the Spirit of God. And we need him. That's the sermon. We need the Holy Spirit. Spirit. We do. More than anything, more than better Bible knowledge and theology, those things are great, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings those things to life anyway. We need him more than anything else, more than slickly better prepared sermons or music or this or that. We need God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. So normally I'd say, right, here's a load of scriptures, but follow me. And you know them anyway, really, because we're all good Bible scholars. So let me just read some things to us. We know these. Matthew 3, John the Baptist, he says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me, the mightier one, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Ephesians 5, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit and continue being filled. Romans 7, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit. There's a new way of life. Having died to that which held us captive, sin, we died to that. Now there is new life, a new way of living entirely, the new way of the Spirit. That's how we live. And of course, Acts chapter 1, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So in these verses, we've got baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire, being filled, dying to sin and living a new life in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit coming upon you. We need the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, if you then who are evil, this is Jesus speaking, it's good to call a spade, isn't it? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, which we do, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Not just anyone and all and everyone in every place, but to those who come and say, Father, give me the Holy Spirit. And again, the Bible's painting a picture. Whenever any of my kids, there's a rule in our house, if they can ask for lots of things, and often it's a yes or a no, you know, it's like, it could go either way. But one thing, if they ever ask for a cuddle, or they're needy, and it's like, oh, that's always on the cards. No matter what's going on, you stop and you administer the cuddle. It's just given. This is what God's communicating. I'm just a broken man. So how much more God, when we come to him in acknowledgement of our dire need of him and say, Lord, please give me your Holy Spirit. How much more than when I stop and give everything to my children in that moment? How much more does God say, yes, gladly, gladly? But we must ask him. We must come and acknowledge our need of him. We mustn't just fumble around and think, actually, I'm pretty good at this. I've been doing it 10 years. I know the scriptures well. I'm part of a church and I go along and I'm plugged into this and I serve on these rotors. And that's brilliant. But we must never lose sight of the fact that our ongoing need is to come to him and say, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. To get out of bed and go to work and to be of any use to you, to be of any use in your kingdom or whatever, we need him. So let's ask him for his Spirit. James chapter 4 says, you don't have because you don't ask. And if, you know, it's as simple as that. It was one of the words that came this weekend about something. And it really struck me again, Johnny, that's you. You know, you all these things, and you look at your life and lack, there's lack, and there's lack, and there's lack, but I don't ask. And then I realize, my good Heavenly Father, all I need to do is come and ask. And the Bible's very simple. You don't have these things because you haven't asked for them, Johnny, or you. And so we must ask, and he gives generously. I just spoke with Pete a minute ago, so he won't mind me saying. But he really came to mind, actually. Me and Pete go way back. We've walked together for years, and we lived together, actually. We lived together in Reading for a while. And it was at that time. So I think it was probably after that time. What, 2007, were you saying? So I'd just moved to Liverpool, but we'd lived together. And so I'd been up close and personal with Pete. And Pete's brought up, we've got faithful Christian parents, brought up in a great Christian home. Pete had been there, he'd done it, he knew it, you know, he was there, he believed in Jesus, he was doing it. But essentially, for years, it was sort of like, Pete would sort of be, yeah, I've got this, and then Pete would think, oh, I'm frustrated, and like, you know, we all relate to it, I'm not singling out Pete. But there came a point where, I think he said he was like mid to late 20s, Pete reached this point of clarity, and he just thought, do you know what I'm going to do to sort of stop myself from going mad, is I'm just going to seek God for his Holy Spirit, and ask him, actually, point blank, Lord, give me your Spirit. Amen. And that was it, you know. And, you know, you can speak to Pete yourself. That was a turning point in Pete's life. And I've had the privilege over the years, as we all do with one another's lives, of just seeing, actually, that was a line in the sand there. And this, and the sort of the old Pete and the old Johnny, again, this is what we're talking about, we die. And God comes and he fills us with himself. And Pete's just now the Pete that we get to enjoy week in, week out. It's wonderful, and we see God in him and we celebrate that. But that's because he realized, I've got to stop and ask, actually, because Pete was just sort of done that thing of, you know, I've been brought up in it and I live, and but the power wasn't there. The sort of, the lights hadn't come on. It's like everything's in black and white, and the people talk about joy and people are clapping and rejoicing, and there's that thing of, I don't get it. And so what I'm saying is, we must ask, because we need him. We can't do it on our own. It doesn't make sense on our own. This doesn't make sense. Life is hard, and sin ruins everything. So God has so much for us, and we need it. That's the point. God has so much for us, and we need it. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God." God has not withheld his hand, man alive. He sent his son, he died in my place, and then he's poured his spirit out on the earth. He has given everything. And we now, he sent the spirit so that we might actually understand and see the things that God has freely given to us. These things are not withheld. Am I making that point? We ask and he gives. That is how it works. And what does he have then? Here's a good starting point. This was brought to my mind in our time away. The things that God has for us, that he's freely given to us, what are they? Here's a good list in Isaiah 61. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I'll take them, won't you? These are the things he freely has for us. Wonderful stuff. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning and sadness, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It's an incredible picture, isn't it? It's like a divine transaction. We come to him and ask, and he says, I'll take that in me, in my body on the tree, and I will then give you this freely of myself. Give me your ashes and your brokenness, and I'll give you beauty in its place. Give me all your mourning and your sadness and sorrow and the life, and I'll give you the oil of joy in its place. What a divine transaction. It's Matthew 11, isn't it? The end of Matthew 11 in picture, when Jesus says, literally, you know, all who labor and are heavy laden, you know, everyone puts their hands up and says, yeah, that's me. And we are. We labor and we're heavy laden. And Jesus says, come to me. Actually, come here. Get there, and then I'll take that, all your heavy and your, oh, life, and I'll give you this divine transaction. I'll give you my life, my yoke. It's easy and it's light. But we've got to come, and we've got to ask, and he gives freely. The oil of joy sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds all poetic. But how are we getting on with it? How's your joy? How are you doing for joy? Good? or is it hard? Heavy? Come to him and ask. The oil of joy. How are we doing with joy? Romans 14, I love this. This is just like, if you're a Christian, this is what your life looks like. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's the sort of baseline living. The kingdom. If you're a Christian, what does your life look like? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Wonderful, thank you. That's what we want. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, Jesus is speaking. These incredible section of scripture, isn't it? When he's talking about how he is the vine and we're the branches. And then a couple of chapters later, he prays his famous prayer for us. But in these verses in John 15, he says, these things I have spoken to you. I'm saying all of this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. It's like, I'm saying these things to you. I'm doing this. I've come to the earth and I'm speaking to you. For what reason, Jesus? I'm doing it so that I can actually put my joy, the joy of God himself, into me, that my joy will then has nowhere else to go but be full. Incredible. But this is what he has for us. He's given us the Spirit, 1 Corinthians, that we might understand the things freely given to us by the Lord. These things are freely. Here's why he came. This is the reason I'm speaking to you, he says, so that my joy maybe in you. Full of the Spirit. As we've been looking at Acts recently, or I've been looking at Acts, and I preached from the community in Acts the other week, so I flicked on. Do you know what really amazes me when you look at the early church, and I've been thinking about all that, is the sort of tension moment that you get in Acts 6, where everyone's falling out. And I love that Luke puts this in, doesn't try and hide the fact that there was a disagreement. You know, I want the early church to look perfect. He doesn't. He puts this story in of the Hebrews and the Hellenists, and people are being missed out in the distribution of funds and whatever it is that's going on. And so there's a big complaint. So they come to the disciples come to the apostles, and the apostles say, right, we can't be involved in this. They gather the disciples and they say, basically, sort it out so that we don't have to be in this. Go and get some people to do this. And it just, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but they've got to go and pick them, the disciples. And it says, obviously, they choose seven people. And they're not just any old seven. They choose seven people full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And here's the thing, right? So it wasn't the apostles and it wasn't the disciples. And they just went out and they just found a Stephen and they found a Philip. These people were just there. It takes your breath away. But, you know, what would you do? Who would be on your list at City? I'm not going to write one. Don't write one. But, you know, if you had to choose now, it's an interesting thought. Who are you going to pick? Go and choose seven people full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Not maturity necessarily, but full of the Spirit. Really, should just be able to pick anyone. I said this at the CU recently. I went in, I was asked to speak about evangelism. I sort of did that for a bit. And I said, you know, the biggest thing, though, that will help you guys is this dynamic, is that you clearly have Jesus and know him and love him passionately and are on fire for him. I said, so I sort of challenged them. I don't see why any one of you would not be. No one's married. You're all, not that that's the end of being on fire for God, but, you know, you're young. You've got energy. You're at uni. What's the problem here? You know, like, you should all just be on fire. And, yeah, it's an interesting thing. Who would we pick? Should it be all of us? Full of the Spirit. That's who we are. Should be. I think I've kept to my time. What I want to do, really, is in a minute I'm going to get Pete. If you want the band up, you can get the band up. We're going to just have a time, really, to just do what I've just ask, and really to just be in his presence, and to just acknowledge need, our need. That's what I've been doing these last few days. We've been sat around with these guys, talking about church, talking about this, talking about that, and you realize your need. You realize your need in life, and it's good to just come and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Give me of yourself. Give me your Spirit. And so if our Christianity or your Christianity is all black and white, and there is no color, or if you have no power in your life to overcome sin, if you're just trapped in a cycle of sin or addiction or whatever, then you need to come and ask for everything that we've just talked about. If you live essentially just under a cloud, rather than, again, in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, don't forget, then we need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit and how freely he gives himself, how freely he will give him and send him into our lives to help us in our weakness and to help us in our lives. Pete, do you want to come up? The good thing about this as well is, as someone who preaches and reads into these things, on this topic, it's very easy to then start pulling on a piece of string, and you start then thinking, oh, actually, I could do several hours here to unpack all of the conditions for where these things. And actually, I just thought this morning, well, I haven't got time. I haven't had much prep. I'm going to try and keep this as a one-point sermon. And the beautiful thing about it is we're just told to ask. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. Wonderful. That's great. I believe, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then the next step is to ask, I need you. Holy Spirit, I need you. He does the rest. It's not for me to try and expound now and say this, that, or the other. But if the Holy Spirit needs to bring conviction, he will. You ask, and he does the rest. Or if he needs to reveal to you, actually, Johnny, there's unforgiveness in there. And before I can really come in and fill you in that way, you need to forgive that person. But he does all that. The beauty is, we just ask, and he reveals, well, yeah, but you're holding on to this thing over here, or there's this, or there's that, or he just fills us. But it's good. And so there we go. One-point sermon. We need the Holy Spirit. And we must ask God. He gives generously, and he wants to give. So I suggest let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and then Pete will play for a while. And really, it's not going to be a long time, I wouldn't think, but just for all of us to pray. Pray in your own language. Pray in whatever you want, quietly, out loud, whatever. But just take the time to come and acknowledge your need and just ask him for his Spirit. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are good and that you give of yourself, Lord. You delight to pour out your Spirit in your children, in those who believe in you and in all that you've done. Lord, I pray now in this moment as we're just quiet with you, I pray you would fill us, Holy Spirit. Fall on us, Lord, in this room. Consume us, Lord. May we see you, Lord, but we ask, fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, now, as we each come and just give ourselves afresh to you, be it for the first time or just needing to be filled afresh anew, whatever, Lord, we come and we need you and we know we need you and we thank you that you are good. You are our Heavenly Father and you know how to give good gifts to us. So thank you, Lord. Thank you that you came. You died for us. You've given us everything that we need, Lord, to live in you and to live this new life in your Spirit. Thank you for your joy. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of praise instead of the Spirit of heaviness. Thank you for everything that you do, the power of transformation in our lives, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus. Amen.